It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer Geo coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this feel good summer Friday. It is funny when people are listening to the show and what they hear and when their ears perk up. So we were talking about crimes that involve the mob and some of the things that Diddy was involved with, like racketeering is the big thing that they could get him on and convict him. So we're talking about racketeering and then RICO statutes and things like this we've seen in mob movies and everything else. I get a text from Pete Hoffman that goes, did you just say that Evan should interview Ghislaine Maxwell? And I said, no. He said, yes, you did. You said, did they get her on RICO? And I said, no, the RICO statutes, not RICO Bronya.
Isn't that unbelievable?
RICO Bronya, Evan's podcast.
Right. Yes. Wow. So no. Because I was like, did they get her on racketeering? Did they get her on RICO?
So RICO, actually, the R in RICO is racketeering.
So there you go. Yes. This is what we're talking about.
Yes.
So Pete Hoffman's somewhere, either driving in or in the newsroom, and he's like, I'm pretty sure that Gio just said that Ghislaine Maxwell should go on the RICO Bronya podcast. Now, that would be the first time that I'd listen to the RICO Bronya podcast. I can tell you that much if Ghislaine Maxwell was on.
And by the way, just reading through her whole deal, she did get sentenced to 20 years, and she's down in a minimum security prison in Tallahassee, Florida, for women. So she was transferred. But I, there's this woman that's sitting there. She's in jail. She's got all these civil suits against her. I mean, you would think that you'd want to talk to her now that all of this stuff is, you know, done and you can give her some sort of, opportunity maybe to chop some time off of her sentence if she came forward with all the truth about Jeffrey Epstein and everything that went on.
But that's generally what happens.
Maybe
right?
They don't want to know the truth. That's the thing.
You can't handle the truth? Have you heard that before?
Well, maybe people are deciding that we can handle the truth, but I would just say, let's see what's in there.
Steve in Bound Brook, New Jersey. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, Gio. Hey, Boomer. How's it going, guys?
All right, Stevie. What's happening?
Yeah, listen, I was just telling Al that the definition that you actually just gave a few minutes ago for money laundering, that was actually the definition for racketeering, which you were looking for, and Al thought it was funny at how I knew that. And the reason that I knew that was because, if you remember, you know, I met you guys a couple last month. I'm the Russian ping pong guy.
Oh, okay? Yeah, of course. Yeah,
so
yeah,
I have
an
interesting college life. I went to UNLV, and part-time I worked in a sports book, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what I did was I figured out a way to, this is a long time ago when technology wasn't what it is today, 1996, I figured out how to way to rig the sports book machine to write up a sports book ticket, like say UCLA basketball, right? I'd let the ticket sit in there until halftime. If the game was a complete blowout, I would wager the maximum amount on that ticket. And I did that for a couple of months and finally they caught on to it. And what the charge was embezzlement and racketeering. Later on, it was pled down to just simple theft, and all I had to do was go to like 12 hours of counseling for that.
Wow,
but
good
that's
lawyer.
Really, what? Yeah. Well, it was my first offense, and believe it or not, that happens quite a bit out there. But racketeering and embezzlement is very similar, and what you had described in that definition, actually, it was racketeering. It wasn't money laundering.
Well, yeah, but no. But I mean, the racketeering stuff also that we read before with the AI thing had a lot more things in it, though, Steve. So there might be racketeering could cover a lot of different things.
It was me and a friend that figured it out. So it was a set of illegal activities aimed at commercial profit that may be disguised as legitimate business deals. That's the actual definition of racketeering. To me, that's not money laundering. Money laundering is more or less.
No, but I said disguising
financial
assets. But I so money laundering right here, concealing the origins of illegally obtained money, which is what I was saying. If you're a drug dealer and you're using a legitimate business to hide where that money is coming from,
but
yeah.
But I think it's more money laundering is more disguising financial assets so they can be used without detection of the illegal activity. That's what I think the difference is.
Okay. All right. Well, very good, Steve. It was a good conversation. I'm glad we had it.
Yeah. You got it. Yep. Glad to help out.
All right. Good. Well, we had a very eclectic audience.
Yeah, I tell you.
A lot of experiences out there.
Oh, indeed. I thought that I explained money laundering well there. I thought that's what they did. You're a drug dealer. You put it through a legitimate business. Maybe it's money laundering and racketeering. Maybe they're both. I don't know.
And the RICO statutes, according to all the different things that I'm reading about it, were enacted and created to be able to recoup some of the money that was lost to organized crime by the victims.
Ah, okay. RICO statutes, not RICO Bronya.
Right.
Let's go to, Dan and Carteret on a feel-good summer Friday. What's going on, Dan?
Hey, what's going on? Gio, you did a good job explaining money laundering, but even a better job when you were doing your Francesca impersonation yesterday or 2 days ago, and you were describing the clown take and sipping the Diet Coke and then described the mirage, and the beluga whale head comment almost made me crash my vehicle. I was dying.
Yeah, I've said that once before. It's definitely not nice, but I think it's accurate.
It's just spot on accurate.
Especially when you look at it from behind.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, hat trick Tuesday golf and boom. Are you guys going to be in this upcoming Tuesday, or are you going to go golfing again, take off your fourth Tuesday in a row?
I'm sorry that I'm out there fundraising for the children. I'm sorry about that.
That doesn't meet
your standards.
Well, listen, you do some good things there, but the Bethpage Black under the guise of a media opportunity to promote the Ryder Cup, I mean, that was BS. So the only reason why I ask.
Here's the reason. Listen, if the Knicks were in the finals, we wouldn't have taken off. We would have been here. But because it was this rare opportunity to play, we said we were going to take a day off. So we used a vacation day. We burned a vacation day because that was important to us. Yes.
The golf addiction and the bouginess. I had to ask though because this coming Tuesday is the anniversary of the birthday of the fan. You know, July 1st, and then it's also the 25th anniversary of the TPC Deer Run John Deere Classic at TPC Golf Course. So I think maybe do a little cross promotion of the anniversaries. You could probably get some John Deere rideable tractors for the illegal immigrants that are mowing your properties, Boomer.
Wow, Ted coming with the heat today. Coming with the heat. All right.
Hey, little flashback Friday story I got for you involving Dave Sims. When the Yankees are playing the A's this weekend, so what comes to mind with Yankees versus A's and Dave Sims?
Huh. What?
He took that series off.
Right. So because you guys, listen to this one, because you guys took off golfing these past two Tuesdays, I DM'd Dave Sims on X saying, hey, if you want to have some fun at Boomer Esiason's expense and Gio's expense, they took off the past two Tuesdays to go golfing. I texted him on Bethpage Black Day. He replied to me. Dave Sims replied, but it was like 2 days after the fact. He replied to me on Thursday.
And what did he say?
He said, I appreciate the thought, but I see no need to keep this thing alive.
Good for him.
Geez, Dan.
But I really tried to get him to take the bait. I said, man, it would have been so great for the fans of the Susan and Dave broadcast and, of course, the fans of your show. If they would have heard him take a little dig, a little needle at you two guys for taking off two Tuesdays in a row.
Yeah, well, listen, Dan, you're right. I wish you would have said something, but... You know, not to go back and, rehash the whole thing, but it was the fact that he had just gotten the job and it was his second month doing it that Boomer's point was. You know, it was his second month doing the Yankee job and it was a series off. It just seemed odd at that point. That's all. Right?
Yes, I guess so. I love that the fact that Dan keeps tabs
on
where we are, what we're doing. That's great.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, do what you want with the vacation days.
Well, we're in the summertime now, man. Now's the time for vacation days.
Summertime.
I'm thinking about planning a trip to Greece in August. I hope King Boomer is okay with that. You jackass. Hey now.
Yeah. Stopped with a lot of the hey nows, apparently. Not as many. But yeah, of course, Dan is keeping
it. Obviously, you think that that's because of the Howard Stern stuff.
Yeah, and it became like prevalent, and everybody was talking about it and saying it's just different in Seattle. Like, I'm sure Howard was on in Seattle, but it was, you know, Howard started, you know, he really got big when he came to NBC in New York.
Yeah.
And then obviously it ended up going across the country. But I mean, when you do Hey Now in New York, it resonates a little more than Hey Now in Seattle.
Yeah, but Dave explained where he got the Hey Now from.
He did, and nobody cared. they still said it reminded them, you know, it's one of those things. I don't know. It's just, so I think that because so many people were talking about it, he backed off it a little bit. That's all. By the way, I wanted to run this Keith McPherson take by you here, talking about the Yankees.
Okay.
But I gotta find it, because all we do is, on this WFAN account, is just put out, here we go, yeah. It's the Yankees culture being soft is what...
So he's the ultimate Yankee fan around here, right?
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, I mean, it's debatable. You know, I probably would say...
And he's calling his team soft?
Yeah, he's calling his team soft.
I was calling my team soft, the Rangers soft at times.
You want the culture one where he's...
Yeah. That's the one I'm looking for here. Yeah, let me hear this.
Let me try this one. Good.
They have developed with these Yankees is soft, where these guys aren't fighting. I don't care if you're huffing and puffing. Go get some water, sit down, breathe deep through your nose and out of your mouth. We need you to come out in the seventh inning. We need you. You don't get the clock out. 88 pitches is not a lot. How do we come up with this number, the 88? And when I mentioned Garrett Cole in the World Series, I think it was around 88. There were other times where, like, I don't want my starting pitcher to come out at 88 pitches unless he's giving it up.
All right, so is there another one there, Dal?
Yeah, this is the one that where he's on the current culture.
Okay.
The culture that they have developed with these Yankees is soft, where these guys aren't fighting. I just think that they foster this mentality of we're the Yankees, we're good, and they're not. It's not good enough. It's not okay. When you're getting up there and you're swinging for the fences and you're not thinking, when you're running into outs on the base path, it's not okay. That's not the standard. You're supposed to be the 27-time World Series champions, bah, 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 nah, all this other stuff. Your whole brand is built on winning World Series. We're in a drought in this city from having a parade. And they have the talent to do it. And you know what? They're going to smoke another season of Aaron Judge in his prime. Another season of a Giancarlo Stanton that can hit bombs in the postseason. And a bunch of other good players on this team, from Goldschmidt to Belly to Trent Grisham to Ben Rice. And young guys like Dominguez. They're going to smoke another season with a talented team where they can go win it. Because the culture is soft as hell.
Yeah. Wow. So what game did that come after?
This was recently. It was a couple days ago when this happened. So
I think it was off that Rodon game where he came out
after 88 pitches. Now,
and he said he was huffing and puffing.
All right, the only thing I'm going to say about that, was that one of those incredibly hot days?
I think it was in Cincinnati, right? So I don't know what the weather was.
I told you, if it's hot here, it's hot there. If it's hot there, it is like oppressive hot.
Right.
So every athlete's different. Every pitching staff is different. And I understand where Keith is coming from with the pitch counts and all this other crap.
Yeah, but the second one where he's talking about there's no fight in the team and the culture being soft and all that stuff. Yeah, but I know. But I feel like we fall back on that all the time.
But the other thing, too, though, is that they have just gone through what the Mets have gone through. They both were losing at the same time. Remember,
I don't think this take is specifically 2025 related.
You think this is like something that's been building up?
Yeah,
because
when you're talking about culture, it means that it's been going on. And I know that he, you know, blamed Aaron Boone a little bit in his take as well about, you know, no one's afraid of Aaron Boone. He's too much of a friend, and that kind of takes the edge off the team. I understand where he's coming from. Yeah, but I feel like the players on that team were edgier than the players on this team. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Trent Grisham's pretty edgy. Ben Rice is a kid.
Well, Jazz is edgy.
Yeah. You know, Aaron Judge is a great, and he goes out and plays hard every single game. I mean, like, I'm not the Yankee fan that he is, so when I call my Ranger team soft, I can understand where a frustrated fan base could be saying those things. But if he thinks that it's Aaron Boone running a country club organization, what's the answer? What's the replacement? and it's not going to happen now.
No, it's not going to happen now. I mean, unless they lost like 25 games in a row, it's not happening now.
You know, when I listened, even when the right towards the end of the year when Peter Laviolette, and you could see the team wasn't listening anymore, and you could see that they checked out. In NHL, it's pretty easy to see that. And then you hear Michael Pekka, a former assistant on that staff, talking about all the things that were going on around the team. You know you got a clean house, and you got to start over in terms of like the coaching staff. And it's an obvious thing to see. Like, we didn't see that with Tom Thibodeau. I don't see that with Aaron Boone. But then again, I'm not watching every single game and every single move that he's making.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got CeeLo here. CeeLo, I feel like we haven't really talked to you about you lately. Is there anything that
is that right?
Yeah, it was just how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I was with you guys late last week, and I said I had that big weekend ahead.
Yeah.
And you were saying I was going to finally start enjoying life a little bit. So it was good. I didn't expect to be here today, but, you know.
And by the way, I apologize for not contributing to that group text that was going on.
Oh, no, I apologize that you were on it. I didn't realize it until after we were already in a full lather, and I was like, oh, crap.
Well, because I was out for my anniversary and all that whole thing.
I know. Rescone told me all about it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If I knew that you were on it, I wouldn't have responded as much as I would have, like, started a new group text on the side.
So we had to go to dinner very early because this place does not take reservations. And if you show up like after 6 o'clock, you wait for an hour and a half. Mm. So we showed up at this place open at 4:30. So we're sitting there.
Special.
Yeah. Which was fine. So I'm sitting there at this dinner at this place we've been waiting to go to. You know, it's like, I'm like, what the? Then I went, put it on mute, and that was the end of it, and I never went back to look at it.
That's what I pictured, especially when Rescona told me about your big weekend. I was like, oh, God, his phone's going to be blowing up, and I'm going to get blamed for this.
No. It was No. I actually felt bad because I thought that you guys were thinking I was, like,
no,
too good for the group text or ignoring you guys, so I felt bad that I never responded. Like,
I was like, how did he end up on? And then the other member on the group text was also rather random.
Yeah.
Melusis.
Yeah, I know.
So I was just like, what? And then it turned out his wife and kid were at the Travelers. It was very strange.
How was that?
It was great. We had a blast, man. It was obviously being there Sunday for the finish would have been a little bit more exciting, but we had a good time. A little mix of, out and about on the course and in the little hospitality tent there off the 18th green. So we had a good time.
Good stuff,
man. It was beautiful.
I'm happy to hear you having fun. I don't feel like you have enough fun. You don't do enough man stuff.
Well, that was a nice man day.
Good.
Finished it off with a little New Haven pizza on the way home.
Oh, baby.
So it was good times.
Did it the right way, CeeLo. It's good. Good to hear. So what do you have this hour? So a little update and moment of the day.
Yeah, quickly just to, review the bad from last night at Citi Field as things took a rough turn for the Mets in the third inning last night with Griffin Canning on the mound.
Lindor charges, throws on the run to first in time for the second out. And Griffin Canning is on his back by the mound. What happened here? White stays at second base on the play. Canning is lifting his left leg off the ground in a 90-degree angle. He's flat on his back. He has put his hand against his head. And oh boy.
Yeah, Keith Radd, Odyssey Mets Radio with the details there. Certainly appeared to be a blown out Achilles for Griffin Canning as he planted his left leg and cleat behind him on the mound. Carlos Mendoza confirmed the Achilles assumption. They're just waiting on an MRI to confirm the diagnosis. But after that sobering moment, the Mets took care of business. They earned a split of their 4-game series with the Braves as Jeff McNeil provided some insurance, a 2-run single in the 7th. Mets went on to beat the Braves 4-0, 6 1/3 innings of work from the combination of Austin Warren, Daniel Nunez, Ryan Stanek, and Edwin Diaz. Pete Alonso, 3 hits. He had an RBI plus his 23rd double of the season. He was a pregame guest of Evan and Tiki here on The Fan as they did their show live from Citi Field. Covered quite a bit of topics, including the Braves' overall dominance of the Mets throughout the years, but Alonso didn't want to put too much stock in that.
I mean, they got great talent, but again, like, I don't think it's anything more than what it is. Again, when you go against good teams, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
Along the way, Evan did that radio host thing, I'll call it, where you kind of spring a very quick but very loaded question on the subject. In this case, Pete, kind of the opposite of my questions from my Jet days, Boomer, which I know you love to bring up. And Alonso had to react quickly on the fly.
Will you be a New York Met for life, Pete?
We'll see. I mean, I love it here. Like, everyone's treated my family so well. Like, the personnel has been like, obviously awesome. Like, I've grown up here in this organization. Like,
and he kind of trailed off a little there, kind of took a breath, caught himself, figure out what else he was going to say. And he did continue nicely for a while and eventually found a way sort of out of answering the question.
And for me, understanding the responsibility of playing in New York, like, I've embraced that. And also, like, last year, like, experiencing the playoffs and relishing in that experience here, like, that is, like, that is the pinnacle of big-time baseball. And, no, I love it, and I hope that the – you know what, here, call David, call Steve.
I'm like, trying. Yeah,
if you want to negotiate.
Kind of sidestepped that nicely. They had a laugh about it. It's all good.
When you said he popped a quick question at him, my brain went right to the boomer drop of, how big's your hose?
Oh, that would have been fun. I would have enjoyed hearing his answer to that question. That's for sure. Before we move on, I'll simply ask you guys, because they did this on SNY's broadcast last night. Don't know if you caught it. Something I've wondered about, so I'm glad that they did it, but you guys might be bored of it or not interested. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Any interest? No?
Well.
You could say no. It's okay.
Yeah. No.
All right. Fair enough.
Are you going to play it?
I could, yeah. But
do you
want to
hear it?
I
did hear it last night. I thought it was very interesting that they did that because nobody has ever done that
exactly
before.
We don't know what it sounds
so
like.
So I think since we're on a radio show,
go for it.
Right, okay. So Gelb's teeing up what the pitch comm sounds like for the pitchers in their ear as they get the signal situation there with the catcher ironed out.
We've never heard what the pitch comm actually sounds like until now. Here you go.
Four-seam fastball. Curveball. Slider.
All right, so you get the gist. It does up, down, in, and out as well. So he informed us that was the default English setting. There's a default Spanish as well, though sweeper. I guess there's no word for sweeper in Spanish. That's in English. But he got me thinking, like, if you could choose a non-default voice, like you're out there on the mound pitch-com-wise, whose voice do you want giving you the pitches in your ear? You know, or maybe someone from around these parts here at the station.
Definitely. I mean, it's definitely Dua Lipa's speaking voice, or that English accent.
She's going to inspire you to
yes
okay
do anything is what he was going for there.
Okay,
I need a little BT testosterone in my ears, I think.
Really?
Yeah, get me fired up, you know.
I mean, it would that after
the
a while
thumping,
might be, yeah,
screaming in my ear might blow my eardrums out, but I'll go with that. From around these parts is Boomer yawns. Anyway. Mets and Pirates.
Well, yeah, I don't know
tonight.
If you heard, I had a dream last night
that
woke me up in the middle of the night.
I did hear a little bit about that.
Yes.
Yep.
Eddie was saying, like, the confused Joe Beningo voice, right? What is this now? A sweeper? What is this? I never heard of this. The sweeper? Is that what you want to throw now, bro?
That would be fun. I like that one. That's
I mean, a good one as well. You could have the dog voice.
Yeah, you'd get everything wrong.
Yes.
Mispronouncing the names of the pitches.
All right, let's go slurveball here.
All right, Mets and Pirates tonight in Pittsburgh. David Peterson, Mitch Keller. It's a 6:40 first pitch. You can hear it on Odyssey Mets Radio. And the Mets are looking forward to the return of Mark Vientos from the IL. The Yankees, who had Thursday off, back in action tonight in the Bronx hosting the A's. You got Will Warren and Mitch Spence pregame 6:25 here on The Fan, as well as the free Odyssey app. A little bit of breaking NBA news from this morning. Last hour or so, Shams Charania at ESPN, of course. Masai Ujiri is out with the Raptors as VP and president. As they've decided to part ways, he was entering the final year of his contract, so that is a marriage that is now no longer.
Wow, that's amazing.
And remember how many years he was rumored to come to the Knicks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we don't want him now because he hates the Knicks.
That's right. So when he was asked about leaving the Raptors for the Knicks, and I'm sure...
I hate the Knicks and don't care.
Yeah, I remember that.
Please clap after this.
Yeah, but at least he was the first one to admit it.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. When he goes, please clap after this. I hate the Knicks and I don't care. But he goes, yeah!
Woohoo!
Yep.
We got his one championship and that has come
to an
end.
Didn't he also get like assaulted on the court by a security guard because they didn't realize he was the general manager? Remember that whole thing?
I do. Yes.
Yeah, after they won the championship.
Lawsuit that came out of that, but I do remember that lingering for a little while.
Yeah.
And there was a video of it for sure. NHL draft begins tonight. The Islanders with the top pick expected to take Canadian defenseman Matthew Schaefer. See if they'll make any other moves, perhaps to get back into the first round. The Rangers not having a first round pick at the moment, and we'll see if they should make some sort of move.
You know, I really want this James Hagen's dream to come true. I know he'd love to be an Islander. He's not going to be the first overall pick. I wonder if the Islanders would swing a trade maybe to get in the top five. I'll call Matt later and see what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Now that I have inside information.
The GM.
I've looked at a number of these mock drafts on the a lot of people have him going to the Flyers, and if he goes to the Flyers, I automatically hate him.
It's too bad.
Just telling you that.
Hopefully, it won't come to that.
Anywhere but the effing Flyers.
Yeah. Somewhat hockey related. Our old PD Spike Eskin opening his afternoon show on WIP down in Philly earlier this week. And I guess off the top, kind of running down what was ahead in reference to hockey spot on the way. But as it turned out, he got duped right out of the gate.
We have an enormous show today. Oh, goodness gracious. Larry Anderson joins us at 3. Flyers in 50 at 3:30 with another new angle, as Connor McDavid has requested a trade.
No, that was fake.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Oh, I just saw it for a second.
I know.
Okay.
Oh, that's too bad.
Man.
That's your error.
Yeah, he got duped on a couple of things lately. Sad. One of which I can't say, love to say.
Wasn't on the air?
It's a bad one.
But was it on? Did it happen on the? If it had happened on
it
the air,
it did not happen on the air. Okay. He has. There is something that he really enjoys on TikTok, and he sent it to me, and I told him this is not real, and he goes, I can't believe that I've been enjoying this for this long, having no idea that it was fake.
A teenage girls.
No, it's not. No.
Jesus.
No.
Teenage boys.
No.
Jesus, Eddie. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
It's
almost like you knew that he was going to react that way. We'll go the other direction instead.
We know about the freak offs.
Yeah. Spike's losing it a little bit, huh?
Well, man, you know,
getting duped left and right.
Spread a little too thin, I guess.
Wonder who their brand ambassador is down there.
Yeah, I guess the guy who took over after he left. That's a little awkward, huh? Like, the old, well, whatever. Anyway, don't care enough.
Thought he'd be spread too thin as the PD up here, but it's going the other way with him as a host of Afternoon Drive. How about that? I got a two-part moment of the day, so let's get to that. So we went from the origin of the Achilles heel to Eddie educating us on horse and donkey breeding to Boomer asking if we've ever witnessed two animals getting it on to him sharing the story of seeing a very special animal in his life from his childhood inseminated.
How's it happen?
Well, there's
a syringe or something?
No. No, it's a big sleeve on an arm.
Come on.
Yeah?
Someone's going to stick
Remember when I had, I got my pony when I was a kid?
Were you inseminating? That's something you're telling us for the first time.
No, I do believe that the pony came from a horse that was inseminated the year before.
Okay.
And I was there to see the insemination. I wasn't supposed to get the pony until my mother died. And it was,
Fester.
Yeah. Come on.
I don't know if I've ever heard that, Gio. That particular, the end of your laugh there, Gio.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard myself do that either.
For me. All right, now part two. Short time later, Dan the doctor called in, shared a story about how when he was attending med school in the Caribbean, he unknowingly ate donkey penis, promptly vomited, but also told us how much he liked it. Thought it tasted pretty good. Boomer then asked a follow-up for a little bit more clarity on Dan's background.
By the way, what kind of doctor are you?
I'm a gynecologist.
Come on!
No, I swear.
Oh, God. Oh, wow.
I have patients sitting in rooms right now I got to go see. I love you guys. You guys are killing it. And enjoy your day, guys. Have a Friday. I'm going to Asbury Park, Al. I'm going to see you there this weekend. Go to Asbury.
We'll grab some donkey penis.
It's fine. Special.
There you go. Moment of the day or segment of the day, yeah. I should say, as that was a lot of fun last hour.
Yeah, so my instinct was initially, after he said I'm a gynecologist, to hang up on him, and just because it can't get any better than that, like that's the mic drop moment. But something told me to not do it at that moment. And if I had hung up on him, we wouldn't have had Al saying, "We'll grab some donkey penis."
I was ready. Asbury Park. No hesitation.
All right, CeeLo.
Tremendous.
Good job, stuff, CeeLo. Man. We will see you at some point soon.
Sounds good.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on a feel-good summer Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We're just talking to Al. The audio is just like a lot of curses. We're not going to sit there and bleep it out, but it is really interesting. So Jim Norton, the comedian who was on with Opie and Anthony many years ago, is telling a story on Joe Rogan's podcast about how he was in a tough time in his life. And he used to drive around in the overnight hours looking for prostitutes. And he didn't want to listen to comedy after he got let go and Open the Anthony got kicked off the air and he didn't have a job. So he would listen to, and he says it like clear as day. He's like, "I listened to Joe Beningo on WFAN 660. Like he was doing a promo. And he asked Joe Rogan, "You know who he is?" And Rogan's like, "No." He goes, "There's this effing maniac who would scream about the Jets and go, 'Oh, the effing Jets.'" So just think about, like, yeah, you know, that whole thing where, you know, Jim Norton, who was known at the time because of Opie and Anthony, is
how
many
times we've had him in here
in the morning.
A few times, haven't we?
Yeah. I think so.
I don't think we had him in.
I feel like we have had him in.
No, I don't think so.
I had him. Maybe that was Pittsburgh. I was going to say, if he was on with me, Gio, and Jones, he definitely came down to you guys.
I feel like we've had him in here. I feel like me and Craig had him in here.
Well, he's either way, he's a really funny guy.
Oh, no just, kidding. And his stand-up lately is just hilarious.
He's listening to Joe B in the overnight. I mean, in the overnight, too. I mean, I really hope, like, the way that the business is going, there are some things that we used to do we don't do anymore. But one of the things that I really hope sticks around forever is the live overnight show. Now, not just for me driving in, but just for the soul of the radio station and those, the wackos who call and the hosts having to deal with it. And, you know, you seeing these guys lose their mind. Like the one time Sal had to threw his headphones down and had to get up and walk away for 30 seconds, you know, and then yes. And McMonagle's screaming. And I mean, it's something else. I mean, it really is. And then all the way back to Joe, of course, and then Tony Page and everybody else who's done it.
Yeah, I think you're right. You talk about the soul of the radio station, the overnight caller. Mm. And then if there are no callers, just listening to the guy that's sitting there by himself, just going on and on and on and on and on.
Yeah. Well, then you get the people like, "Hey, Fleegs, you know, what do you think, Fleegs?" You know, that's what a couple of the guys will end up doing. Like Fleegs will co-host for the last 30 minutes. When there's no calls for whoever the host is. All right. You want to join the show? Got a couple minutes left. 888-808-1019 for Joe in Staten Island. What's going on, Joe? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I was listening to what you played about Keith, and this is really typical of him. He's so passionate about the Yankees, so he's like very up and down, and you give the Yankees a couple of tough losses, and he's all over them, and that how long they haven't won a championship, and it gets really obvious when the Yankees have lost. If you don't have to know if the Yankees lost or won, you just got to listen to Keith. He's going to be like on top of the world if they're playing well, and if they're not playing well, right away he starts with like what he said on you, what you were playing, that they have no heart or they're not tough or whatever it is that he was saying, you know.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, listen, Joe, that's what you want from a host is to be passionate about what they're talking about. And, you know, he's going to have the ups and downs and experiencing what a lot of the fan base is experiencing. So I understand his point where he's coming from with the no, you know, juice thing. But, you know, let's they did make it to the World Series last year. They weren't as good as the Dodgers, but it's not as like this team is a, you know, 500 baseball team that's just kind of floating around there. But I can understand, you know, Yankee standard is higher than that.
And when you're talking about Rodon going only 88 pitches on a very, very hot day, you know, it's amazing to me. I was thinking about it because there are times where fans will say can't the manager see that the pitcher's at the end of a rope?
Mm-hmm.
He's done. You got to get him off the mound. And maybe that's what Aaron Boone was doing. He knew it was hot. He knew that Rodon, you know, maybe he can go another, you know, 10 or so pitches or 18 pitches, whatever it may be. But maybe maybe it's not the number, it's what Aaron Boone is looking at.
Yeah, but Rodon did talk about how he told Aaron Boone in that situation he was done.
Don't you appreciate a guy being honest?
Oh yeah,
and saying to the manager, "Hey, look, man, I think I'm spent right now."
Yeah, I mean, and it's not great to hear that, you know, after 88 pitches. But what would you rather him do? Lie about it? Go back out there with not his best stuff, and then lay a meatball, and then getting crushed and losing the game? Now the bullpen came in and blew the game. I understand, but
that's part of the story. That's why people get annoyed. But I. How many times do athletes lie about having something wrong with them and trying to play through it? There's a lot of that goes on that we don't hear about. And then we get annoyed when an athlete has a calf strain and has to be out for 8 weeks.
Yeah. You don't normally see a guy play through that. And, of course, Halliburton had to play through that because it was the NBA Finals.
And same thing with Kevin Durant. He had to play through it, too, because it was in the NBA Finals. But, like, when I think it was David Peterson's last outing. And I think we had a caller the next morning saying that, you know, Mendoza had to get him out of there. Doesn't he know that he doesn't have it anymore? And I'm like, well, I think he was at like 75 pitches.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
so it's a conundrum, basically, for the manager and for the player. And, yeah, I know the player's making $162 or $65 million, and I know you want them to go out there and give you their best effort, but you also you want them to be honest with their manager.
Yeah, I mean, another time that this comes up all the time is the concussion stuff. Like, I know that there's concussion tests, but it's still difficult to determine sometimes. So, like, you got to trust that the player is telling you the truth about how they're feeling as opposed to going back in there because they don't want to miss any plays.
And I know that my generation was different. We played through concussions unless you really legitimately got knocked out like I did against Buffalo. But there are times where you would take a hit to the head and you knew that, you'd see green or blue or whatever it is. Yeah. And that would be the onset of a concussion, but you'd still play through it. And now because of all the concussion discussion over the last 25 years, you know, they're really going to be very, very careful about trying to protect the player's health.
Yeah, no, of course. And whether it's true or it's because of litigation or it's genuine, the NFL has made a lot of changes directed towards player safety.
Well, things have changed since the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s for sure. And, all you have to do is take a look at a lot of the ex-players and the condition that they're in.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But then you get, someone, I'm not going to name any names of people who might not be in great condition, but you get someone who maybe isn't in great condition. Then you get a guy like Troy Aikman who suffered 10 gazillion concussions and is as sharp as anybody out there in sports media. So
you'd think so. I mean, like Chris Collinsworth took concussions. I took concussions. Phil Sims took concussions. Kurt Warner took a lot of concussions. But, it's not just the concussion thing. It's just all the other stuff, too. It's the knees, and how surgery has, remarkably changed the shelf life of the athlete today. Back when Joe Namath got his knee cut open, the chances of him lasting, 10 years after that was infinitesimal.
Yeah. You know what it is right now? I was just thinking about this. Graduation party season. While you were talking, I was thinking about the dishes and what I'm going to be scooping out of Sterno dishes over the weekend. There's always ziti. There's always Caesar salad. There's always a bread roll. And there's always some sort of
there's a meatball tray.
Could be some meatballs. Or like a chicken, like a lemon chicken or a chicken marsala.
Yeah.
So just as you were finishing your thought, I was thinking about holding a paper plate and walking through someone's backyard and scooping these things out of Sterno dishes for all the graduation parties.
Will they have a tent?
Oh, yeah. Got to have a tent.
Got to have a tent because you could be getting a little bit of rain.
Yeah, and then you get the folding chairs and tables and the plastic tablecloth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's gonna be great. It's such great. The graduation party is such great memories because it's warm and the kids are out of school and everything and everybody's happy eating their ziti in their backyards with their plastic forks. It's a wonderful time of year, Boomer. What are you talking about? It's wonderful. Yeah, yeah. You don't like graduation parties?
I mean, you know.
It's great.
I don't know about you, but I usually get cornered talking about the Jets or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No. I don't. I generally not anymore.
Not really?
No. Because, you know, no. You know what it is now? It's all questions like, what time do you get up? What is the drive like? You know, is Boomer really an a-hole? And I'm like, no, I don't know why everybody thinks that. No. You know, what is Boomer like? You know, all of those things. And then again, you know, some, did you play this course? Did you play that course? I get a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
Did you go fishing? I don't get what are the Jets doing because I, you know, and if I do, I'll just be very quick. I don't know. We'll see.
I got, you know, for the last month, because we have played golf enough that I got a lot of Nick talk.
Yeah.
Like, we can tell, like, what is out there.
True. I know. I usually gauge, like, the conversations that I listen to at the bar with my buddies or out there.
Like the
golf
Juan
course.
Soto thing. We went on, you know, for about a month with Juan Soto.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I you tell, like, what, you know, not for the questions that they're asking, but I like to listen in on other people's conversations, what they're talking about in sports to kind of get a gauge of what people are interested in sometimes. But, yeah. Anyway, this is what we got. And, by the way, I got a four-year-old birthday party, too, for summer this weekend. And I'll be grilling for everybody, getting my meats from Chubb's Meats and using my Chef IQ sense.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, give him a sportsman. We'll hand it over to BT and Sal right after this.